Welcome to episode number 5. Beata here, my co-host Alexandra. Hello, my sweetheart. Just to let everyone know before we start, we are currently available on Apple, Google, Anchor, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Public Radio, and Pocket Cast. So you can basically listen to us anywhere you listen to your podcasts. But welcome to today's episode. I'm excited as always. And today our episode will be on the top 5 things that you shouldn't say to someone with a brain injury and what to say instead.
This is like one of the best topics we could think of, I think, because it's so common.
It's true. And like, we didn't want to start with it because it might sound extremely, I don't know, negative perhaps, but the thing is, it is such a truth. And I remember like in the beginning more than now, but I was very hurt by so many remarks, because now I suppose we are a bit more used to them and we've thought about some of the things we can say, you know, respond with. But yeah, there are things that are very difficult to hear and to process when you've just suffered a brain injury.
It's very painful, I think, whenever I heard these questions when they were asked to me, or maybe phrases or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was very painful. Maybe they were well meant, but they still hurt. I just wish there was more consideration from people before they told them. But let's see if hopefully this podcast helps others to, you know, the right way and know what to say and how to say it.
True. Mm.
So let's get started.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, when are you going to be 100% again? So, I think this is the one that hurt me the most. And I thought, it's so disrespectful to ask me when I'm going to be 100% again. Since, you know, the persons who ask this question are usually not people who have a brain injury or people who have gone through something like this. So to me, it was very hurtful to hear, just the word 100%. In the beginning, it was scaring me. It was making me feel like I have to fight really hard to go to that number of 100%. And it was giving me a lot of anxiety because I didn't know when it's going to be 100%. But then I was also thinking, is it ever going to be 100%? And what is, if it's not, how are people going to react to that? So it was giving a lot of
pressure, right?
Pressure. Mm-hmm. Mm. Exactly. And it's also an impossible question to answer. I mean, what can you say to that? You know, patients who have a brain injury, they don't know the road ahead. And
true,
you
know, they have no idea.
Exactly. Asking when are you going to be 100% is not really something that I think many people can answer.
Also, I feel they, like for myself, and we've spoken about this in previous episodes, like if you asked us that question 1 month in versus 6 months in versus 1 year in, you would have also received very different answers because our hurdles look very different. And your hurdles will change. And we've spoken about that as well, because as you progress and as you move along, you will discover new difficulties. And like that 100% becomes such a vague or strange question to answer, right?
Like, exactly. And I think it feels also indeed like pressure. You need to fight to do something that the society expects, although you know, you're also just struggling with day-to-day things. Sometimes you're just struggling to remember like a password, or struggling to remember just to like where you put your keys, or like things that
find
people,
your car in the shopping center because you don't know where you parked it.
Exactly.
Like, I've done that so many times. At every single shopping center, I have a specific parking where I go to, or at least specific area. Obviously, you won't always find that one parking available, but certain habits has helped me to not have that situation over and over again, but I still have them in other circumstances, right?
Exactly. And I think what you said before, that yes, every step of the way where you ask people with a brain injury, how do they feel like just after or 6 months after or a year after, is also so different for the mentality that, well, not the mentality, but in the beginning, you feel like, oh my God, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to be back to myself in a bit. I'm just going to do everything I can. And then as time passes and more difficult things come, you are also like, okay, this is getting harder. So,
So I think what probably you can say instead, if you, I don't know what the question is, like when you're 100% again, maybe you're asking about the progress or something. So what you can rather say that is not like as hurtful or that puts as much pressure on the brain injured person is to maybe just ask like, hey, how's it going with your doctor's appointments? Are your therapist sessions helping? And like, how is it going with all of those sessions? You can maybe ask something like that. Or like, how was your day today? Just like a simple question. And then if they want to answer like, oh, today at work was an extremely difficult day because of, for example, blah, 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 blah. They have the option of sharing something that maybe might have happened to them, but it also doesn't put too much pressure on a very long-term question that they cannot answer, but they can answer like, oh, my day was good or it was bad. And, you know, it's like an easier question to answer. And if you, you know, whether you're a friend or a colleague, you can maybe ask them like, you know, how can I assist you today? Or can I help you with anything? But in a very non-condescending way, just like, hey, how's it going? Can I help you today? Like, what's on your agenda? You know, still like respect them as a person and don't, you know, I use it the baby voice. Don't baby voice them. Just like talk to them as like a normal person and ask them simple questions so that they can share their situation and their progress that they have in that, you know, certain stage of their recovery with you. I think that's probably better, right?
Yes, definitely. And it takes away the number, the 100% figure, you know, which is like
exactly
the goal that people try to reach, but, you know, it's very difficult to get back to.
Yeah.
But yes, that's very important. So let's go on to number two. And that's the phrase indeed that I think everyone has heard. You look so normal though. Well, okay. Yes. Well,
you look fine.
You look fine. You're
normal.
Just normal. Yeah.
You look great. Your hair's blown out. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have your nails done. And of course, all of us, brain injured or non-brain injured, we try our best to fit in and we try our best to take care of ourselves. And yes, maybe we have problems with like noise and stimulation, and we hate it when we go to the nail salon because it's a lot of noise around. But sometimes we still do these things because we just want to give some love to ourselves.
Some self-care, self-love.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or you just want pretty nails, like
or that's true. I think that some people, you know, they say it and they mean it in a positive and respectful way, just to say, okay, you are looking well, you must be doing well. But it is rejecting like the possibility that something's not okay with the other person. And we need to try and educate these people that an invisible disability is just as physical as a physical one, physical, visible one.
Yeah. I mean, that was definitely more hurtful in the beginning. Like today, I probably, to be honest, I don't think I find it offensive anymore, maybe even at all, because I'm so used to hearing it. And I also rather in my head, for my own like sanity's sake, I take it as a compliment. I'm like, thank you. Like, oh, okay. Like, I probably look good today or something like that. Like that's what I tell myself, because walking around feeling horrible every single time I hear that was just not an option, if I can almost say it. But like in the beginning, it was so hurtful. Like I almost wanted to walk around with my MRI scan on my phone and like point to the piece of dead brain, you know, and be like, look, look, there the scar is, right? Like you can't see it in my face, but like here it
but
is.
It's there.
Like, it's here. And it was, I don't know, Alexandra, why is it so hurtful? It was just saying like, probably, it was probably like the feeling of saying like, oh, you don't have an issue.
Oh yes. It's denying that there is a problem.
Yeah. Mm. Denying the reality that you have to deal with or live with every single day. And that is hurtful. Yeah. That's probably why it's so hurtful. And I wrote, like someone going through a heartbreak or a divorce or that just lost their dog, obviously they are experiencing pain as well and you won't see it. So asking them like, oh, you look so normal. What, for someone who just lost a dog, you know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a strange thing to say. But the difference is that the brain injury, although you might not see something physical in our case, right? There are some brain injuries that you do have a physical, something that you can see, but exactly. There is a physical scar in the brain that no one can see without looking at the MRI. And yeah, I think you also just need to respect someone with a brain injury the way you would anyone else who had any type of injury or loss, right? You just respect the fact that they've lost a certain thing or someone, or they're going through something. So almost saying you look so normal is saying like, oh, you don't have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. And I always felt like people are saying, well, maybe it was not true, but to me it felt like they want to disregard my issues and to sort of move the conversation away from ever asking me, you know, how I actually am and things like that. And it was hurtful because I felt like, you know, I'm still dealing with so much and telling me that I look really great is not going to change that.
Yeah. Mm. So I don't know, what do you say to something like this, right?
Yeah.
I actually have nothing else to say instead of this, right? Like, I would rather go back to what we've said in question one, is just saying like something like, if someone looks normal to you and you can't see their pain, and something comes up where you can maybe see discomfort in their face, or they tell you that they are experiencing discomfort or whatever, you can maybe just say something like, I'm very sorry. Like, what can I do right now to help you, maybe, or assist you, or maybe go back to something like that. But like as a normal passing by comment to say to someone, oh, you look great. You look so normal. It's like, yeah, I have nothing to say instead. Like, rather just don't say that.
Exactly. And I think, you know, sometimes also with like closer friends that, you know, that are not stranger to you, sometimes it also happens that they say that you look normal. And I think for them, it could be more that they could say instead, like, hey, I see that you actually got your nails done. How was that appointment? Was it super stressful? Was it okay? Was there any problems? Like, there were too many people, or how did you do it? You know, just actual genuine curiosity about a positive thing that you see in the other one, but you know they might be struggling with it.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, I remember like a good example of myself also having a physical change, like a very worldly physical change. Just in the very beginning, I did not care about the way I dressed. And my normal work outfit used to be high heels, pencil skirt, button-up shirt, done hair, makeup, nails, that thing, right? And for a very long time, I was wearing flats, almost like sport shoe type things, like sneakers or whatever, jeans, even if it was like not too formal a day, like it's like a type of, not a sweater, but like a very plain top with my hair, you know, tied back in a ponytail. Like I couldn't care less as to what I looked like. And someone then, I think it was about 8-9 months in or something, Someone's like, oh, like you've changed your style. You're like into a very sporty mode. And I was laughing in my head thinking yes. Like I have been wearing like very like athleisure wear because that's just, I haven't been thinking about like maintaining myself, like myself, my physical being. And then later on when I started wearing, like having my nails done again and like blowing out my hair and things like that, yeah, it was also that thing like, oh, you look great. Like, you must be fine now. Oh, shame. Aww, no, I, shame. You know, we shouldn't be mean. I don't want people to listen to this and think like, oh, they're so mean. No. You can still compliment us on our hair.
Just indeed, just don't make it sound like there's nothing going on, because there probably is.
Yeah, true.
All right, let's go to number three. And that's when someone says, oh, yeah, but I also get tired easily. Or, oh, yeah, I also can't concentrate long. I don't have a normal or great eyesight anymore either.
And yeah, like things, I wear glasses or whatever it is.
Yeah, things like this that I've heard whenever I had, you know, one-on-one discussions, you know, at work, maybe with a manager or things like this. And it's still, I understand, but the people that I've spoken to and were saying this were usually like, kind of like older people, that it's more normal to get easily tired, to not be able to concentrate that much. But when you're 20 something, you can't really say that's like the same thing, you know. For you, for me, it's probably like extremely disturbing. And I think for someone who's, you know, had their first like their youth and everything went perfect, and now they are in their going towards retirement age, it's probably more normal to get those symptoms. So I've just had a hard time responding to a comment like that, because I didn't know exactly what to say to a person who's comparing, you know, my brain.
Their old age with your brain injury.
Exactly. And then I just didn't know, you know, I didn't want to be in any way like rude or mean to say what I thought, which was, hey, this is not the same thing. But I think,
and also they had their energetic 20s, right? Like, I'm sorry that you are now becoming older or whatever, or your knee is aching, or you, I don't know, can't hear as well, or you also need afternoon naps. Like, but the thing is, you are now 70 years old, sir. Like, I am 25 or 27. Like, that is not where I am in my life right now.
Not where I should be, that's for sure.
Yeah, where I should be, yeah.
No,
true. Yeah, true. I was working with a therapist this week, and she was saying to me, she was asking me about my day-to-day life and like about my energy levels. And I kept like a bit of like an energy journal, if you can call it that. And we were talking about like a lot of things and how different scenarios impact my energy, and what can we possibly do to help. And we were talking specifically about noise stimulation, and because it was an audiologist. And anyway, she was just saying, oh, Beata, I hear what you are saying and I understand what you are saying, because my kids are the same age as you, or approximately the same age. And, you know, they are, the one is like an ultra athlete, like a super athlete, the people who do like triathlons and these like super races and things. And she's just talking about like the amount of, you know, physical energy that they can throw into either their sport or their work or their whatever. So she was really being very compassionate towards me, saying, I understand the stage of life you should be in right now. And I understand that these things can really be difficult for you, because someone that is 68 and retired, you know, if a bit of noise stimulation gets them to go home sooner, not a big deal. But for yourself, it's really impacting your quality of life. And we were just having like a really frank conversation about that. And I really appreciated her open-mindedness towards the situation, you know, and just saying like, I understand the era or the age that you should be in. right?
That's really important that indeed you found someone who actually can relate, because of, you know, having children of our age who are actually living like a normal life. So she knows what is full potential and what is like limited energy. Yeah. Limited. Yeah. Wow. That's really nice.
It was actually a very good session. But anyway, but yeah, I mean, I think this ties in with like combinations of things, saying things like, oh, just take a small break, or, you know, just quickly take a rest. Like, oh, we'll wait for you. Don't worry. We'll take a 5-minute coffee break. Or, you know what? If say we had a conference, or, you know, we're like with family, like, oh, take a small afternoon nap, and like we will continue afterwards. And it's, again, like, this episode is not meant to be hurtful back. It's just saying, like, the exhaustion that I have cannot always be cured with a 5-minute break or a afternoon nap. Or, you know, a quick break from stimulation. It can't be cured with just a small, you know, step away situation. And there's a permanent scar that's going to be probably there forever. And it makes, I don't know, again, it makes me feel horrible if they say like, oh, let's take a 5-minute break. And after the 5-minute break, like, I still feel horrible. And I can see everyone else feels better because they've stretched their legs and they went to the loo, or they had a cup of water or whatever.
Yeah.
Cup of tea. And now everyone feels better, but I still feel horrible.
Yeah. I am doing exactly the same thinking of that and feeling like, yes, exactly. And it made me think of a situation where I was really tired, and we went to visit a friend, and then I said, I'm really getting super tired. And she said, it's okay. We don't have to do anything. We can just watch a movie if you're tired.
I remember this story.
Yeah. So then I thought, ooh, how do I explain that actually I can't watch a movie, because that's not gonna help me with being tired. If not, it's gonna make it worse, because you have to focus on the images, focus on reading the subtitle or whatever.
Just to explain to the listeners, what Alexandra is now saying is that her body, and Alexandra, correct me if I'm wrong, because this is the way I usually experience a similar situation, is that your body can reach a point where you are that exhausted that even watching TV is too much. Like the noise and the visual stimulation is too much. So it sounds like mind-blowing, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so.
But that is something that Alexandra experienced in that moment. Like, even a movie couldn't chill her out, if you want to say it like that, or could be of help, really. So
yeah, it is sad, because I still think in the normal way of, if you're tired, you should just watch something more relaxing and it would go away, or you should just read something. But I can't do it. If I'm tired, it's just game over, that's it, you know, nothing will work.
But and I've known for myself that that point of exhaustion can vary depending on the day, depending on the situation. Sometimes I will watch an episode of something by myself to kind of chill, if I can call it that. But sometimes even that is like, just, you know, I don't like that, I can't really do that. So a step further for me would be to lie down and maybe listen to classical music.
Yes, that I do always.
And then a step even further than that is to kind of go into a meditative state, just be still and completely silent. And a step further than that is like, I'll go and sleep.
Yeah.
So that is probably the degrees of rest for myself.
Of trying to get a little bit of energy.
But Alexandra, let's finish number 3 off and tell our audience, what would you rather say? Like, what would you say instead of like, oh, yes, but I also get tired. Oh, I can't concentrate. Or, something similar. So what would you say?
Well, indeed, I would probably say that, you know, I can't really comprehend what they're going through, but that I would, you know, try my best to help them when they need it. So, yeah, it's not really that I would say, oh, okay, I get it, but there's, this is the solution. Yeah. But more that I would say, you know what, just let me know whenever this happens, or just if you feel like you can't concentrate anymore, let's say it's a work situation, then just close the laptop and finish for the day. You know, like something that is not like what we were just saying, like a short break and then keep trying to do it. But more like, you know, if it doesn't feel right, just stop it there.
Yeah. Good one.
I don't think there's any other way to be, make this a good, you know, saying something on this topic, because if you're going to say, just take a break or let's just watch a movie, it's not going to help. And of course,
or rather let the injured person guide you. Say like, what can we do now? Or say the injured person says, like, listen, guys, I can't anymore. I'm tired. Right? Like, I would say, okay, we hear you. What can we do? And then kind of follow their guidance. Like, for example, I usually would say, like, don't worry. Like, you can maybe continue on X, Y, and Z. You don't need me for that. I will go home. We'll start again tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. And then maybe if I'm home for like 3-4 hours or something like that, like, I will probably find the energy or have a bit of energy to like continue working on a piece that I needed to do. And then, you know, at the next meetup, we can start again, you know, and continue from wherever we left off.
Exactly.
Something like that.
No, that's a much better way to put it. True.
Okay, tell us what's number four.
Yes. So number four is the sort of famous, saying of, but when are you going to back to full-time work, or why are you not working full-time anymore? Like, for me, that's very much showing that the other person just doesn't understand anything almost. And it comes mostly, this situation at least came to me mostly from like friends and family, because my family, they really don't understand brain injury. It's more a cultural thing there. So, of course, that everyone would want to understand, why am I not working anymore 40 hours a week? And what does that mean for me financially? And everyone is thinking at something else than just my health. I think it's unbelievable a bit that families can be pushing people, especially people with a brain injury, like that. And also friends or acquaintances, but it's a very hurtful thing to hear, and it's also a very hurtful thing to reply to, because you actually don't know.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're ever going to be able to go to full-time work anymore. You don't even know if you're going to be able to do your old job anymore, like in a similar way as you did, or even maybe for the same amount of hours. So I think it's very hurtful to ask that.
Yeah. I think, for me, if I now have to think back just around like work environment, to give some context, like in my new work environment, which is a lot of classes and a lot of working by myself, I can definitely work more hours because the stimulation is definitely way less. Like, I don't have as much auditory stimulation. It's not an open office workspace where there's lots of people talking, lots of noise, lots of, I almost want to call it social engagements within work. There's not a lot of distraction.
And you're doing something practical, right? With clothes.
Yes, I don't have to read as much. I definitely have more productive hours now. But it was also a very big switch for myself to realize that the old way of work is not going to be possible anymore. Like, I'm not going to be able to do that anymore. And my comment here is like, you have to remember that the new working environment is going to look very different for the individual than what it did before. It's going to be very, very different. And you have to respect it and treat them and it with dignity. It's already something that they probably went through, which is a great loss that they had to accept that they cannot do the same hours of work, the same amount of work, the same work, the whatever it is. It was, I know for myself and Alexandra, it was extremely difficult. And we definitely tried our utmost best to keep up, you know, our old selves. I want to say our old selves and our old responsibilities. And, and at some point, we had to let go of that. So know that their environment will change most likely.
Yeah.
Have respect for it. Treat them with dignity. I almost had an experience that people looked at my situation and I had a feeling of people looking down on me and handling me with pity. And that was also horrible because
I
have to make my new reality work for me. I have to realize that I'm not even 30 and I have to make this new life a beautiful life and something that is going to work out for me, right? That is, so yeah, I don't want to be handled with pity or being, experience frowns around me. Like it's making it more difficult to accept certain parts of my new life, right?
Yeah.
And of accepting this new reality. And, you know, if you want to support someone with a brain injury, you also need to, you know, accept the new reality. You also have to walk the road of acceptance if you're close to someone, because their lives will change most likely.
Yes. And of course, there's, you know, brain injured people all around the globe. And there's so many different cultures all around the globe. So you can have a type of person in America reacting in a way, and then there's completely different people reacting in like South Korea or whatever, Europe. And we're thinking in this podcast, how can we, tell things that people from all around the world can relate to regardless of the culture? And I think in that way, it's also at some point important for the brain injured person to think around the culture around them. How do people think? What could help them? For them to help the other person sort of understand and react differently.
That's a very good answer. Yeah. A very good comment.
It's difficult, but I think it's the only thing that can help. That if you really understand the culture that's around you, like I understand that from my background, like the home country, from my home country, that's not going to happen. I'm not going to get people to understand me or brain injury. And that's okay. I kind of, made peace with that. And I try to not explain it anymore because it's just being disregarded, but I talk to people in a different way. And whenever there's big expectations put on me, I just don't take it personally. And I try to, put it in the back of me.
Yeah, that is probably the best advice that you can give someone, anyone really listening, is to, I mean, this is supposed to also help people who are the support system of a brain injured person. But at the end of the day, and that is probably the biggest thing, unfortunately, it is the situation is that the person who's injured will live with the new life. They have to listen to the new comments. They have to know how to handle it within different contexts. So whether it's work or family in two different cultures or two different cities or two families with different expectations of what a career needs to look like or whatever it is, right? I think the biggest thing is you have to make peace with the new reality and you have to do what will make you feel better about it. Like for myself, it, I had like lots of therapy. Like yeah, I had to same. Like, I, yeah, because it's, people will probably never understand exactly what it is. And like, I have to understand it. I have to make peace with it.
Correct. Yeah. All right. Well, we're getting to the number five and the last of the big five.
Yeah.
And that's when people say, and I think everyone's heard this, who's still around and has a brain injury, you're so lucky to be alive. Mm. And that goes so deep. Because yes, you are lucky to be alive and you know that, but the quality of life doesn't just depend on surviving. You know, I mean, if you're lucky enough to have minimal physical disabilities, there's still a big hill to climb when it comes to cognitive impairments. And this is something that I quoted now from an actual professor of neurology from a medical school in the US. She also was saying that it's common to have actually problems with like memory, anxiety, concentration, etc. So when you hear this comment that you're so lucky to be alive, you are just going to go straight thinking to I'm alive, but I'm not living. So it's such a hurtful comment.
Yeah, Alexandra, I'm alive but not living. That is actually a very good, comment to make. But the thing is, like, I feel if people say that, I think they expect like an answer of gratitude, you know, of this, you know, American movie where you have like all of these lots of beautiful insights into the meaning of life. And I'm not saying that all of that is out the door, but like, I don't know. What do you say to that?
What do you rather say?
Yeah, like, person? What do you say instead? Like, I don't know. I would rather say something like, I'm trying to think, like, after what type of comment or what type of situation will make people say that line? I'm trying to think about, like, an example, but...
This one with, you're so lucky to be alive?
Yeah, like, why would they say that? Like,
well, I got this comment from everyone, from family. I got this comment from colleagues at work. I got this comment from friends, just in the beginning, you know, not 2 years after, but just... In the beginning, you know, after the hospital, after everything, when I got home or when I started back at work, just the first meeting with someone I hadn't seen since before, that was the first comment. You're so lucky to be alive. So, yeah, I think
I still don't know what to say, but like the closest thing I can think of is if, say, for example, you are someone who was close or who is close to this person who got a brain injury. And you are extremely thankful to be there with them, rather just say like, I'm so happy and so thankful that you and I can sit here drinking a cup of tea together.
Mm.
Rather just like appreciate the moment. Because like that is such a heavy sentence to throw at someone who almost died and had to go through all of that and still have so many things dragging along with them. I have no idea what to say. If people say that to me, I just usually nod my head and smile, like smile and wave, boys, you know, yeah. Like, smile and wave. But like, I would rather like express, thankfulness for the moment. I think that's just a better thing to say.
True.
Right.
I don't have anything more to comment on this because it's just a phrase, like from all the phrases, I think this is one that people should just not say. But yeah, well, if maybe there's some listeners that actually know what to say to that instead of that, actually, so they can let us know.
Or maybe you have your own funny story. If you would like to send us anything, any questions, any comments, any stories, please do so. We'd love to hear from you. In the show notes, there is a link that you can follow to send us a message. Unfortunately, it's only a 1-minute cap on that message that you can send. So maybe You can either send multiple ones or you can email us at mybraininjuredfriends@gmail.com. We also will leave the email address in the show notes below. Thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you so much. It was lovely to have you here today. If you know of anyone who will appreciate this podcast, please send it along to them.
Thank you.
And we hope to have you here back soon.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.